Okay, the council has returned from executive session at 6:45, and I will call the meeting back to order. Next item on our agenda is audience participation, which we've had. Anybody else wish to speak this evening? None, we'll go on to written communications.
We did not receive written communication this week.
Okay, next item is the consent agenda. We have approval of bills in the amount of $344,260.50, an advance pay of $6,095, approval of payroll in the amount of $492,239, approval of the council minutes for June the 22nd, 2015, and a bid award for single-phase transformers.
So moved that we accept it.
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next item is a public hearing, and this is just to announce that that public hearing has been postponed. Sherry, will that be on next agenda on our next meeting?
We're working on it. We're actually working with the city attorney.
Okay, so we'll decide when that public hearing is going to be held. Next item is a council action items. First item on our agenda is the Hughes Avenue General Binding Site Plan Request for Extension. And Alex, are you going to introduce that?
I will, Mr. Mayor. The Hughes Avenue General Binding Site Plan is a 18-plus acre project on the corner of Peace Portal Drive and Hughes Avenue. Per the Blaine Municipal Code, the applicant has 5 years to record the general binding site plan and a specific binding site plan to lock it in place in perpetuity. About a year ago, or on June 13, 2014, the City Council granted the first of a possible 2 1-year extensions. The applicant has made substantial progress towards completing the general binding site plan, but has not done so yet. So they submitted a timely request for a second extension. Their letter requesting that extension is in your packet. And as attachment one, as attachment two, there is a letter from staff with a number of items that need to be completed before that general binding site plan can be recorded, including three revisions to the Mylar drawings and four conditions that have to happen. Since that letter was issued June 22nd, all of those items have now been completed. The applicant has submitted a new set of Mylar drawings, which are available to review, and all four of the conditions have been completed. So at this time, there are four options for City Council. I'll read those off. Essentially, they are option one, to approve the general binding site plan extension request, in which case the project will be extended to July 13, 2016, a year from today. Deny the general binding site plan extension request, in which case the project expires at midnight. Take no action, which is essentially the equivalent to denying the application extension request. Or condition four, which is conditionally approve the extension with the condition that the general binding site plan and associated irrevocable right-of-way vacation ordinance and irrevocable no protest to LID for street improvements agreement be recorded within 60 days or on or before September 11, 2015, and that subject to a timely recordation of the general binding site plan and right-of-way vacation ordinance and no protest to LID agreement, the requirement for recordation of a specific binding site plan shall be extended for the full year, and the approval shall then expire if a specific binding site plan is not recorded on July 13, 2016, 1 year from today. So with that, legal counsel, I believe would like to check with the applicant to make sure.
Yeah, we just want to make sure, Mr. Conway, that you understood the conditions the staff is recommending approval on, that extension be, requested extension be granted for 60 days with the condition that the general binding site plan, including an irrevocable right-of-way dedication and irrevocable no protest to local improvement district formation is included, that be submitted for 40 to 60 days. Specific binding site plan for that 1 year from today. You understand that, Doug?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Council. Staff has identified four options for Council action. Would anyone care to make a motion regarding any of those four options?
I move we pass option four as modified.
Okay. I second it.
Okay, option four has been identified and a motion has been made and seconded. Is there any other comments or questions? Yes, Mr. Greeno.
I believe this is probably for Alex. You have given us a report on all of the things that Mr. Connolly has in fact accomplished, but there must be something that he has not accomplished or we wouldn't be discussing this tonight. Could you please tell me what Mr. Connolly was supposed to have accomplished by this point that remains undone?
Well, it would be recording the specific binding site plan and associated vacation ordinance at this time, and then submitting an application for a specific binding site plan, completing the requirements associated with that, and recording that specific binding site plan. And once those things are done, this project is entitled in perpetuity and is no longer subject to expiration.
So that had these two, I believe, comparatively minor things been accomplished, this discussion tonight would not be necessary?
That's correct.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And I just want to, for the motion, the modifications were the clarification that the dedication of the right-of-way was irrevocable and the no protest of the formation local improvement district was irrevocable. That's what I confirmed with Mr. Cohn.
But just for the record, John, would you care to read that into the record for us so that we have it as accurately as possible before we call for vote?
Sure, I'll read it. And that was moved to conditionally approve the extension, the condition being that the general binding site plan and associated irrevocable right-of-way ordinance and irrevocable no protest agreement to the LID. The right-of-way ordinance has the dedication of use. Right. Be recorded within 60 days on or before September 11th, 2015, and that subject to timely recordation of the general binding site plan and right-of-way vacation ordinance, the requirement for recording a specific binding site plan shall be extended for 1 year. The approval shall expire on July 13th, 2016. That was the motion. What was supposed to be done today was to have a specific recorded, and that he will have the extra year to complete the specifics.
Okay. Okay. Any other comments or questions regarding the motion? Okay, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Screeno opposes. The motion will carry 4-2-1. Okay, the next item on our agenda is an ordinance 15-2867, which is amending Title 17, Section 17.122, signs.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is an ordinance to update the city's sign regulations, primarily downtown, but there is also provisions citywide. So I'm going to take you through this real quickly. I would point out this is a zoning text amendment that's been processed under ZTA-1-15 permit number, and this is actually part one of a two-part recommendation that was processed by the Planning Commission. Part two will be brought forward in the near future. This is a legislative action, meaning the City Council makes the final decision. All the public notification requirements have been met in the usual manner, and a SEPA determination of non-significance was issued. So why update the sign code? Well, we had a good productive meeting with the Chamber of Commerce about a month ago, where there was a presentation by Debbie Harger, and we talked a lot about effective signage down there. Also, I would say this just my experience working with sign applicants that we have a limited number of approval criteria or design criteria, so that there's about five of them that are relatively easier or less. More economical to meet, and what that typically drives is everyone designs the same style of sign. So we felt that it was a good idea to open up some options there. In addition, our A-frame standards for design were a little bit lacking, so we wanted to develop some specific A-frame standards, and flag banners were not addressed in our code. So flag banners are currently non-permitted. And so our planning commission took a good look at that, discussed flag banners, and proposed some language for your consideration. And just so we're clear, I think everyone knows that A-frame signs are sandwich board signs, but these are flag banners, sometimes called feather banners. You've probably seen them around town. And so that's what we're talking about when we say flag banners. So how is the new sign code different? Well, it does relax the design standards a little bit. One of the biggest changes is you have to get 5 points on the scale or 5 points on the system to comply with the design standards. Well, previously it was required that stylized lettering was just required, and now it satisfies one of the points. And so essentially, if you have stylized lettering, it just gives you one of the 4 points. Which means you only need 4 more. It makes it easier to comply with the standards. We brought in the flag banners. Flag banners are going to be processed or regulated as incidental signs. That means you don't need a permit for them. There's some standards for them, and you should get a right-of-way obstruction permit, but you don't need a sign permit necessarily. There's the code allows the potential for every 25 feet. Our building code, or our zoning code, allows a certain height limit downtown, but it doesn't mean everybody builds that height limit. So there is the potential for a flag banner every 25 feet with these regulations. And provides a new definition for them. A-frame signs, we just update the design standards on that. There's the potential to do a 20% larger design with a creative shape, and it allows for some changeable text. You see those A-frame signs typically advertise menus, and so we wanted to provide a framework within our regulations so people could put, the special of the day on their signs. The code amendment increases some size allowance for corner businesses, and this is throughout city. This is citywide, actually. And then it also allows for some placement. Parameters for placing signs on the side or rear of the buildings. People have been doing that for quite a while, but our code didn't really address that. When you put a sign on the side of your building or the back of your building, does that take away from your total allowance? So this clarifies that, and it adds a little more square footage allowance for that. Monument signs are like a low profile, wide sign. They're typically like a primary identification sign out by the roadway. Those types of signs are a little bit limited in our opinion. So there's a slight increase of the allowance to those. They went from 18 square feet to 24 square feet. So that's still not very big, but those would be allowed, that increase on the west side of SR 543 or the truck route. Everybody, on this side of it would have to be able to do a 24 square foot sign. For the bigger businesses, things like, Totally Chocolate, Nature's Path, they would be allowed up to have a monument sign up to 60 square feet. So that would allow a bigger identification sign. And then there's just a modest allowance for home occupations in residential neighborhoods, just a 2-square-foot sign. I put this in there. I just wanted to take this opportunity to reemphasize that we do have this downtown sign guide. And so this is just one page out of it that talks about some of the elements we use. So we share this with applicants. People come in and we say, this is what we mean by stylized lettering and a drop shadow. There's about 8 pages of this that talks about all the different elements. And it's really handy to have a picture that you can point to when you're trying to explain these things. So that's kind of how we do it. Staff concurs with the Planning Commission's recommendation to approve Ordinance 15-2866, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Dennis.
Alex, on the size, it doesn't say it, but those are all square feet.
That's correct, yeah. The tables are excerpts from the code, but elsewhere in the code it does define that all the measurements are either square feet or lineal feet.
And the other question is, the A-frames, where can they be placed?
So they can be placed in front of the businesses or at the next feasible intersection with the approval of the planning director.
So it's within the same block?
Within the same block, yes. Assuming there's an intersection on that block, yeah.
Does this have any effect on the sign that our current marijuana store has?
No, it would not.
The gentleman, as you know, was in here not too long ago.
Actually, I'm sorry. I do take that back. This would actually apply to the design of the sign,
yep.
And so it would make it easier to comply with the city's design requirements, but I haven't done the analysis to determine whether that sign complies with our design standards. Okay.
And the other thing, I noticed the comment in the summary from the Planning Commission recommendations. It says, during the course of review, there was much discussion about signs in the downtown area that are unpermitted and do not meet the city's regulations. Are we going to address that at any point in the signage regulations, or is that a separate area?
I think I'll jump in and answer that one for Alex. We have enforcement in the sign ordinance, so we wouldn't address it through the sign ordinance. It's simply a matter of enforcement.
That's coming in at another...
Yeah, it's a staff exercise rather than a legislative act.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the staff recommends that council accept the Planning Commission recommendation and approve Ordinance 15-2866, adopting amendments to the city's signage regulations by amending Section 17.122 to update the downtown design standards for signs and modify certain sign standards citywide. I'll entertain a motion.
Your Honor, that also includes waiving the second reading.
Includes waiving the second reading. I'll entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Motion has been made.
Second.
And seconded. Now, are there any discussion, comments? Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next item on our agenda is a release from the Drayton Reach CCRs.
And that's me, Your Honor. This is actually a pretty straightforward and simple item, I think. That often backfires on me, so knock on wood. The Drayton Reach project was one that was proposed for approximately 90 lots back in the day that it was approved in 2005. And it was for land that extended all the way from the Drayton Harbor shoreline to the east to the railroad tracks. And it was this roughly north of Rungi and south of Hughes, the neighborhood that's accessed off of Hughes. That property was partially developed. This is another one of those instances with an expiration of a project involved. So preliminary plats have a timeline associated with them. And that has been a moving target lately due to some state legislative actions. But nonetheless, they have a timeline associated with them. And so during the course of the time that that was eligible for subdivision, one half roughly of the property was developed with roads and water and sewer and storm infrastructure. A couple of open space tracts were set aside, and that was platted as phase one or division one. And those 40-some lots were available for sale as individual parcels that could be developed with single-family homes. And then the other half of the property, the more waterward or western part of the property, was set aside as Tract C, which just simply meant that it was for future subdivision. And at that time, it had the vested right to be divided into the additional lots and create a new couple of streets and cul-de-sacs and become the rest of the neighborhood. And in fact, it would be the linking piece between the Rungi neighborhood, if you will, and the Dodd Street neighborhood. It was going to be the piece that brought those two together. Sadly, the recession hit. Homestead went bankrupt. This property sat in holdings for a great long period of time as a result of the bankruptcy. And the plat expired. And so there no longer is the vested right to subdivide that land. Now, there is the right to subdivide it through a preliminary plat process, but the existing plat has expired. So what we have is a single-family neighborhood that's got 45 lots in it. About 15 of those have been developed, and the other 30 are now belong to another organization, Watkins Skagit Housing, who will be developing the rest of those 45 lots with single-family homes. They also find themselves to be the owner of Tract C, which is a fairly good-sized waterfront parcel, which they don't wish to develop. They wish to sell that waterfront property to someone else, presumably a developer, who would then go through a subdivision process. As a result of the development process, there were conditions required that were embedded into the CCNRs. The most prominent of those was management of their on-site stormwater facilities. In particular, in this instance, stormwater swales that are on each lot, because since they're so close to the water, they don't need stormwater detention, but they can just use the water running across each lot, sort of like traditional roadside ditch, using that to clean the water, and eventually it discharges into the bay. It doesn't have to have reduce the flow. It just has to clean the flow under the law, because presumably Drayton Harbor can have just as much water flowing into it as you want, and it's not going to affect the height of the water, unlike a river. So there essentially are rules that, if you will, you made in their CCNRs, and it's required that the whole thing be under those CCNRs because they were requirements of the city. They have requested to be released from those CCNRs for Tracts A and Tract C. The reason Tract B is not being asked to be removed is that it is a wetland preserve that will remain in ownership of the Homeowners Association. Tract A now belongs to the city, and it's a city park site. So presumably, we don't want those CCNRs on us. It was formerly a private open space property, but we acquired it through negotiations with them for $10. And they are requesting that Tract C be released from the CCNRs for primarily two reasons. One, so that the new developer can make their own rules for that segment of the property, and also so that if the new developer creates sort of unusual costs related to the development of that waterfront property, which is possible because it's waterfront property, they may have higher level and higher standards, they don't want that to be tied back to their more modestly priced properties on the other side of the project. So they request that action, and we have a motion in the request for council action. It's underlined. I won't read the whole thing, but it is there. I will read it if someone just wants to rely on me to do that. But it is there for someone to make a motion, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have. And also, one of their board members is here this evening, Sue Sturgill, in case you have any questions for the organization that I haven't clearly, or maybe I've made things up. Sue can correct me if I've said something that wasn't accurate as to why they wish to be released from the CCNRs.
So that just becomes an open area for development?
Yes, it's essentially raw land open for development, covered by the zoning and the Shoreline Management Master Program, but no longer subject to these private development restrictions.
Is that anticipated to help sell that property?
I would imagine it would, and their lawyer and the president of the organization,
Nancy the director?
Yeah. Nancy Larson is the director, not the president. Both indicated to me that they anticipate it will assist in their sale. The property's under contract.
Okay. Questions or comments for Mr. Jones? Okay. Staff recommends that the council approve the amendment to the October 16, 2005 approval of preliminary plat and shoreline substantial development permit for Drayton Reach
and authorize the city manager to enter into the amended and restated Declaration of Covenants, conditions and restrictions for Drayton Reach, thereby releasing Tract A and Tract C from the conditions contained in the original covenants, conditions, and restrictions for Drayton Reach. Anyone care to make a motion?
So moved.
Second.
A motion has been made and seconded. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next item on our agenda is Resolution 1671-15, Interlocal Agreement with the Whatcom County for Jail.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. This is the second time you've seen the resolution. The first one, as you recall, was approved a short time ago regarding the jail partnership. Since then, you've been reading the newspaper. We've been reporting that the relationship between the county and the city of Bellingham has been strained a bit by it. So the response by the county was really to modify the agreement, which would allow an opt-out. Before, it was included, Bellingham was included, all cities were included in it, in the agreement, and the new language just really provides an opt-out. So if Bellingham doesn't want to participate, the county's still going to move forward with the resolution that they're going to approve, and I think they may have approved it to take this to the ballot in November. So I think they're still somewhat hopeful. They're trying to negotiate, but by approving this, it allows the county to move forward with the jail resolution and ultimately go to the voters in November. So they've asked us as well as other cities to approve it. We've had John Sitkin review it. The only comment he had was, you know, the language could have been tighter, but it wasn't enough for him to feel there was a material problem for us. Other cities have already approved it. Linden approved it. Sumas, I think, approved it as well, which is one of his clients. So we're recommending the council approve the resolution tonight, and we report it into the county executive's office.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Wilbur?
Dave, only one city had to approve it.
Well, it's interesting. All cities that want to participate in the use of a new jail has to approve it before it goes to the voters.
To get it on the ballot, they only needed one city to approve?
No, they don't need any cities to approve it. This county could take it to the ballot themselves. The jail would be only built for jail, you know, for felons and misdemeanors of the county. So the reason that cities are buying into it is because we have prisoners that we need to house prisoners. We need a jail facilities for it. Those cities that don't join in the MOU or the agreement don't have a place for their prisoners really effective December 31st, 2015. I think at the end of this year, cities that don't sign on to this are going to be notified that there's no housing because they're overcrowded now. They're just making accommodations. So this is quite a lever for cities. So it doesn't take any cities, but those who want to participate in the new jail need to sign on.
Yeah, I guess then I don't understand the agreement.
Is there any clarification you need to ask?
Well, it's just that it says this agreement shall become effective when the county and one or more of the cities identified above have duly executed this agreement.
So let me back up again. So the agreement does have to take two parties. Otherwise, it's just the county. I misunderstood your question. So let me back up. For this agreement to work, it needs to have a county and a city. You're absolutely right about that. If there were no cities, the county would just take and build a jail. I misunderstood your question.
And I guess my comment would be then you shouldn't have too big a problem finding Ferndale to sign on to this.
Ferndale, I'm sure, will sign on.
Every small city is signing on to this.
Yeah, there's no. They've signed on previously.
So. Yeah. Our city has no capacity to build a jail, and our option would be to send prisoners out of area. Now, there are conversations about that. Some cities are looking at going to Eastern Washington. There are some counties apparently with jail facilities with extra beds, and they will come to your city, pick up your prisoner, haul him back, $65 a day, which is a pretty good price, but there's no guarantee on that price. It's negotiated year to year. I think it would be a problem for us to do that. I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah, I think it's clear that our present jail is inadequate. And we are housing people in conditions which really are somewhat unbelievable. And we desperately need a new jail as soon as possible. And this is, I think, the county has taken on the responsibility of building a jail for the county and all of the cities. And the idea was to get everybody on board, and they were hoping to do that. Bellingham has got some issues, and in the meantime, the county wanted to get this on the ballot. And the only way to get it on the ballot was to have this agreement presented to us. And if we sign it, and all the other cities, whatever other cities sign it, then this will guarantee that this can get on the ballot.
Yep.
It's going to be a smaller jail. But yes,
potentially.
With Bellingham not participating, does that influence our daily rate for our prisoners going to the county jail? I mean, they're going to be a smaller jail.
Well, certainly our economies, I think, the difference between a 400-person jail or a 531, I think they're sizing it at 393 now without the city of Bellingham. There will be some economies with a larger facility, I think, but I don't think it's going to be as much as we might think it could be. But I haven't studied that. I just have been a part of conversations. So I'm not sure if I could answer that more clearly than that. It's possible, but I don't know how Bellingham could possibly own and operate their own jail. I mean, I guess it could happen. Some cities may do that, but they're so darn expensive to build and operate for 100 people.
Dave, can you explain the payment system? They talk about the 0.2% and how that works down the line.
I can try. So the difference between whether we tax ourselves or we are part of a taxing structure, the MOU really creates how the money's divided. So we are imposing upon ourselves a structure that funds the jail primarily, with some money coming back to the city, cities, not just ours. So for example, the recovery for our portion is about $70,000 based upon their formulas. So the idea, I think, is they're trying to enhance and encourage cities to buy into the program. So the formula is driven around that concept. I want to say it's an 85-15 split, 60-40, kind of in that range. In Bellingham's case, if the jail were to pass as a countywide initiative and Bellingham was not a participant in the MOU, it would be reversed. They would get 85-15 to go to the county. But then the county would charge, the county wouldn't have included them in their jail calculation, so there was no bed space in the new jail. So the formula is written in such a fashion that on the front end of the term of the debt, they build up a sizable account, several million dollars. And the purpose for that is twofold. It's required as part of financing to have a reserve, an operating reserve, and a debt service reserve through the life of the project. When the project nears the end of its life, that reserve then can be, as it accumulates interest and value, can be reserved to pay off the tail end of the debt. So they can retire the debt much sooner than if they had just carried it out to the end. So a 30-year term might wind up being like 26 years. But they have to collect that money on the front end, and they'll do that during the time the construction of the jail goes, which is about a 4-year time period. So the first 4 to 5 years, that money's collected, put in the bank, and then but in the meantime, you are paying debt on the money borrowed. Then at that point when the that period of time ends, the city will begin getting its portion of that amount. We spend about $55,000 a year with the Whatcom County Sheriff's Office providing, who provides jail service for our misdemeanants.
And we'd come out about even?
We'd come out ahead. We're going to come out ahead by about 20. Now, the city of Bellingham is going to be in the tune of $800,000.
I guess there's two points. One is all felonies are going to go to the jail anyway. So it's only our own misdemeanors that are going to end up going to the jail. The second is this is going to go before the taxpayers. If they don't approve this, this whole idea just goes away. And we have to figure out how to operate our existing jails now and for the future. So we're going to get a couple of kicks at the can here. One is now, and then one again as taxpayers will get a chance to vote on this and decide whether we want to support it or not. So I feel that we've already approved this. This is just an amending the agreement to allow Bellingham to opt out if they so choose. So I don't think anything's changed really for us. Mm-mm. And I would recommend we sign on. We really, it's to our benefit to sign on and get this thing moving on and get it on the ballot.
We have so an average of five inmates a day in the jail.
Yeah.
So the Bellingham has how many days to make a decision?
This has to be done on the ballot by August 4th. Mm-hmm. So they have to be on and approved before August the 4th for them to county to get this on the,
yep,
to get them included in this on the ballot. Mm-hmm.
Will that determine how the size of the jail then is?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. If Bellingham comes in, the jail will get larger.
And they've been doing, you know, the studies to show the reduction with the footprint and the sizing of the kitchen and all those other ancillary resources would be already. So they've already started to downsize the value of the structure. I think $75 million is where the number lies today.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, the staff recommends that the council do one of the following. One, rescind resolution 1664-15 and adopting resolution 1671-15, approving the jail facility use interlocal agreement between Whatcom County and the cities of Blaine, Everson, Ferndale, Linden, Nooksack, and Sumas, and including a commitment to enhance mental health and substance addiction programs. I need to be addicted. Addiction programs to reduce jail population and recidivism, and or two, do nothing at this time, therefore opting out of the interlocal agreement, revenue sharing program formula, and risk higher per diem rates from the county or be required to transport and pay for prisoners in another jurisdiction. So those are our two options. So someone would care to make a motion?
I move that the council approves the first recommendation of rescinding resolution 1664-15 and adopting resolution 1671-15.
Second it.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Motion Thank you, council.
5-0. Okay, that's the rest of the council actions. The next one is commission committee and board reports. David, anything on the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee?
Well, it's an active group. They're meeting twice a month. Oh. I tried to talk them out of it, and they wouldn't go for it. Actually, I think they're making some progress, kind of define more narrowly some of the things they want to work on. Primarily, they've been focusing on some downtown economic development activities, including a retail study and some of those elements. My sense is We have another meeting coming up that will probably finish that conversation, and we'll go toward sending out requests for proposals for that work. They had a chance to tour Old City Hall last week, and there's a sense of what that building was about. They wanted to see it. They hadn't seen it for quite a long time. Thanks to Sam, the building was pretty clean. It's important to note that the police department uses it heavily for indoor training, so active shooter training is a big part of the use of that building now. So overall, I think that it's going in the right direction. I think there was a little bit of a stall when we learned that the Canadian medical climate had changed. I think we're still kind of have that on the radar, but certainly not as strong as it was 6 months or a year ago when we were more hopeful about that.
Has there been any clarification on that court case?
Not to my knowledge yet.
Okay, Steve, any on your committees?
Blaine Tourism, we have a meeting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And no report for the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay, WTA Board, Paul.
No report.
Dennis, any on your committees?
Nothing more from the library except they meet on Wednesday again. And Senior Center had a board meeting today, and I think they have put out a needs and wants list.
Okay. Mr. Jones on the Planning Commission.
The only item on the Planning Commission, sir, is to mention that they will see you here in about 2 weeks on the Thursday night for a joint study session with the Planning Commission and the City Council. That's on your calendar. Okay. And I have no report on the Park and Cemetery Board. Alex has a report on the Park and Cemetery Board.
Ah.
I'd like to give you a quick report on the Marine Park Playground, actually. We've had three Saturday work parties. The last one, this last weekend, it was a pretty successful work party we had down there. There was at least a dozen kids picking rocks and shoveling out dirt. We also had a barbecue, courtesy of the Park and Cemetery Board down there, and fed all the volunteers. And so that has been going really well. I feel like the playground is in a good spot. It's prepped nicely. I also wanted to say that our volunteer coordinator, you know, when trying to get this set up, you know, we contacted a good dozen local contractors trying to find some help to get some equipment down there to get this all done. And only one person stepped up to really help us out, and that was Blaine Lawn Care. And Mr. Lawrenson here has been carrying the torch for the playground, and they're really helping us get that done. So I wanted to say thank you, Steve. Also, some good news working with Public Works. Raven has been extremely helpful getting the bid package out. The bids are open to do the playground site prep work. That closes July 21st. And so I'm hoping when those bids come in, that will be our last contract to sign. And once that gets signed, everything will be set in motion, and we can just finish this playground out. Also, some good news. Our playground installer is now on site. They came down there today, and they started to lay out the playground. They're going to be installing and doing some, you know, augering some holes in the area and getting that all set. So that's really coming together. I think it's some positive information. If everything goes, you know, fairly smoothly, I think we could have this playground fully built, and I'd like to have all the council down there for a grand opening, ribbon cutting in September sometime, hopefully early September. So I'm really excited about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any expected opening date? I mean, if we're anticipating this year?
Yeah, September, early September this year.
Okay.
There's some dominoes that need to fall in line here first, but
September. We're hoping to get September going.
Yep, I think so. I think we can do it.
Super. Thank you, Alex. Small Cities Caucus. David, I think we've been spending the majority of our time talking about the jail, and we've been hearing from Jack Laws, who represents the community. And I guess from the city of Bellingham, and hearing all of their points of view. And so really there's nothing to update other than there's a lot of discussion going on, and hopefully we'll get this resolved prior to August the 4th. So, with that, Finance Committee.
We have our next meeting scheduled for Thursday, July 23rd at 9 a.m.
Super. Okay, the Whatcom Council of Governments, there is really no report. And the North Whatcom Fire Update.
Fairly short this evening, just share with you our monthly newsletter, and it does have a recipe on the back again.
Thank you very much for the cookies.
Hopefully those cookies were good. I'll let Leslie know. I think she was really focused on the grandbaby today, but she came through in a pinch. So.
And be sure to thank her again.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is Department Reports, Public Works. Raven, are you going to head that up?
Yes, sir. All right, well, just to update you on a couple of projects. First, our monitoring well on the top of H Street Hill. They're about 1,000 feet down now, and they're about reached the limits of what they can do with a 10-inch sleeve. They did report significant water in the 850-foot realm, and so I expect that we'll be getting a report soon that'll detail the rest of the well development, so I don't have a whole lot more information than that, but that it's going well. Our ESCO, as we've been calling it, our energy conservation project is also nearing its final elements. We have had quite a bit of warranty issues with some of the components at Lighthouse Point, and they are taking responsibility, and we are very excited that we should be able to now apply for our BPA rebates for that component of the project, which is a huge source of revenue for the project itself. It's amazing how motivating a contractor can be when you say, I have no money to pay you until. So getting some happy to say that the wastewater component of the project is under budget. So we're actually looking for some additional energy conservation measures that we can implement with the bond money that we have. We did receive PIDs for the electrical work on Pipeline Road. Through our small works roster last week, we got very competitive bids and are looking at the qualifications of our low bidder because it's not someone with whom we've worked before. So it's pretty standard practice to get their last five projects of similar scope. And so we are doing that due diligence, but it's looking in the neighborhood of $129,000, which is below our estimate. I wanted to share with you a little bit about the Association of Washington Cities Conference. Mr. Lazenby and I went together late in June. Gosh, it's so hard to believe that we're mid-July already. And I think that the most inspiring message for me, and Jeff and I talked about it on the way back from the conference, was just how important community engagement is. And that's something that I think that we as a city could do some work on. And it talked a lot, not just about community engagement here, so I don't want to insult all those that are sitting in the audience, but also just community engagement with some of the things that we're doing, including some of the things that council is doing, and how to get a little more participation from schools and things like that. So be more than happy to have more of a discussion with you on a night that doesn't have such a large agenda. But let's just say it was a very inspiring message because I think we all want to do what's best for the public good, and that's why we're here.
Raven, if there are any suggestions that have come out of that conference, you know, what other jurisdictions are doing, I think the council would really appreciate hearing about them.
Okay.
Because I'm sure there's lots of things that we should be doing that we just may don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's hard when you're small, when you're spread in a lot of directions. Maybe Jeff and I can pull some of our notes together and create a little report for you.
We'd all be very interested in knowing.
Great.
What some of the other cities are doing.
Great. Good to hear. Our Public Works Advisory Committee met on the 6th. Our primary focus was talking about the electrical utility comprehensive plan update. Got some feedback from some of the members, and we'll be bringing to you a similar type of presentation as they start bringing some of the different items together for recommendation. You might note that the Welcome to Blaine sign on the north side of SR 543 did go back up in time for July 4th. I just want to commend the incredible creativity and resource that we have in Leroy Dougal, because those posts that rotted were essentially in the sleeves, and we could not budge them. We've tried everything from a line truck to enormous measures. And so what you saw there was literally fabricated, welded, in place, in a way that really looks like the sign across the street. And so we are planning on incorporating similar methods to the one across the street, which right now is literally holding itself up with the landscaping that's behind it. We're not seeing the same problems on Marine Drive. I don't know exactly why, but clearly we also have the one to put back up at Bell Road. That'll be new construction, however. I don't know that we'll need to go through those measures just because we're reconstructing that intersection. I am expecting to hear from you on a couple of different things, so I'm just going to report on them. First is water conservation and water usage. So I did do a press release asking our wonderful community to cut back on their water usage. And I will tell you, the reason for that is that we have been seeing a peak production. Our actual peak was on July 4th, so it was after I wrote the press release. But on July 4th, 3.4 million gallons produced, 2 million of which were used by Birch Bay. So that's high for both of us. For Birch Bay, their average is about 1.5. But I can say that it's dropped considerably since the weather is cool. We're much more into the more typical realm of about 2.5. You have asked me previous to this, well, all this news about drought, it's not going to affect Blaine, right? We have enough water, right? And the answer is yes, but we don't have all of the infrastructure in the ground to pump it. So we have a wonderful water supply. We have projects in the works to increase our production, and that's one that we hope to get built yet this year. We also have in our plan additional reservoirs and things like that. So it's really the infrastructure to provide that water that is more of the concern, not so much the actual supply. So I just wanted to really stress that with you. And then offer to answer any questions on that before I move on, because I know this is a sensitive topic and I may or may not have gotten any attention from your constituents.
Questions? Are we making any money?
Well, we held out on putting those signs up, just hoping to just maximize that revenue as much as we could.
Somewhere I saw mention of the department sending notices to those folks that are using an awful lot of water. Am I remembering correctly? And if so, what's going on here?
We did, I don't know if it was a notice, but I know that our water crew spoke with some of our high consumption folks, including the second pond at Semiamu, asking if they can hold back on drawing water for a certain period of time. My understanding is that all of those have been let loose again, so we are not holding back any of our customers at this time. There was a kind of a mini crisis a couple of weekends ago where they took the initiative to do that to avoid it becoming a crisis.
Who's the they in this case?
Water crew.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, in the news, you probably saw the report in the state budget about the I-274 getting funded, and this is with a new 11.5-cent gas tax. What the news didn't clearly extend into the article was that right now the I-274 from the state's perspective is targeted at 2023. And when I spoke to their chief planner on Friday, he indicated that, 2023, and that it would be essentially design only, starting design at that point, and things with the state tend to go one thing at a time. So they'll do a design, and then things will sit, and they'll do right-of-way acquisition, and then they'll get the bid or their permits done, and then they'll get their construction done. So it could even be 3 more years beyond that date to see something on the ground or longer. That being said, I'm committed to finding state, federal, local, private sources of funding to do anything that I can to make this as ready as possible, that when that funding is released, we can do something with it. So as an example, I think that we need to update the interchange justification report that we did earlier in the 2000s. There are some things that have changed since that time, and it needs to be kind of dressed up with those changes. There might even be an additional alternative or two that has been since identified that might expedite or phase the project at a lower cost that might move it up in the state priorities. And then finally, if we are looking at doing it in a certain way, look at buying those right-of-ways now such that we're not having to buy out developed property later. So this is incredibly encouraging news. I don't mean to be a downer, because 2023 in a lot of ways is, it's only 8 years away. And we have been working on this project way longer than that. So I just wanted to end on that note.
Thank you, Raven. Raven, question. Are there any more holes forming on Marine Drive that you know of?
There are no holes forming that have further impacted public safety. I have seen pocketed holes, and when I have walked down the end of the pier, but they're all well removed from the area that we've designated for vehicles and pedestrians.
My local source says there's one about 100 feet west of the treatment plant.
Okay. So actually in the open road? Okay, I'll take a look at that. Who's your local source? And I'll be at the plant tomorrow. So any other questions?
Community development. Mr. Jones.
I have two items for you. One, I'll go ahead and pass out here in a second, and Sherry already has a copy. I don't think that Dave has seen this yet. But it is the city's proposal to Whatcom County Planning Commission related to the UGA. And it really is something that you're familiar with and you've already seen, but I thought you might like to see it in its full write-up, where there's a section here kind of on the mechanics of the law, but then a section on the city itself, on the character and profile of the city, which I prepared. And then it goes on to talk about essentially that what we are proposing is that we be allocated for a population growth and employment growth based on the multi-jurisdictional resolution. So kind of like, here's the rule set that we all agreed to, folks. Let's continue that. And that's what we're proposing. And that we propose our UGA to remain the same. We will reallocate some of the land uses within it, as we've talked about, but that the boundaries of the UGA would remain the same. So hopefully Whatcom County Planning Commission heard that message, and we'll be able to mix that in with all the others and bring that to Whatcom County Council. So what happens now, this was on the 9th, last Thursday night I went to that, and there will be 2 more sessions where they will hear from other cities. So on Thursday night it was Blaine, Sumas, and then the unincorporated UGAs of Birch Bay, Columbia Valley, and Cherry Point. This next Planning Commission meeting, which will be in about 2 weeks, will be the cities of Linden, Ferndale, and a couple of the other smaller UGAs, and then a couple of the other smaller cities, and then Bellingham will come on its own night. As you can imagine, they have bigger city, bigger issues. And actually, they do have some pretty significant challenges there because they are hemmed in on a couple of sides, and there's a lot of public outcry about growth. So they will be moving that forward, as I mentioned, to Whatcom County Council. We won't know what the result of that is for quite a while. And I'll give you here those in a moment as I return to my seat. I did want to mention to you that we're moving forward with a proposal to create an event called Splash Days, which I've mentioned to you, some of you on the phone and some of you just through a message. I'm really committed to helping the city create the vision that is in our vision statement, in our comprehensive plan, and that is to create a vibrant downtown. And that happens one little step at a time. And so these are small activities, and they're big activities. It's one new business. It's better infrastructure. It's events that attract people. It's things like the library does on some of their afternoon events where they bring in the helicopter. You know, those kinds of things create a better downtown. But big events like 4th of July, as much as they're fantastic and they're exciting, they're kind of a flash in the pan. On the 5th of July, everything's back to the way that it was. And on the weekend after the 4th of July, except that we just had the Great Music Festival, things are sort of back to the way that they were. So we need to keep at it constantly. The proposal for the event would be to close a city street or a portion of a city street, and in a very visible location so that people see something's happening, and for a short period of time spray the area down so that kids primarily, but kids and adults, families can go out and play and get a little bit of relief from the heat that we've had and have some fun. The key being bringing activity downtown. You could do this in Marine Park and you could water the grass at the same time. That would be true. You could do that out at the school and water the grass at the same time. That would be true. But neither of those bring people downtown and create an event or an excitement. So initially the proposal that we were looking at doing was 5 to 6 weeks, one after another, occurring on Fridays, about 4 hours each, with potentially multiple spray outlets. As we kind of evaluated things and understood better what that meant, realized it was a larger flow than we thought was reasonable, and now we're looking at revising it to a shorter period of time, 2 or 3 weeks, with provisional extension, depending upon how things are going, a couple hours for each event, and probably using one spray head. Now, Raven just mentioned some stresses on the water system just before I got up here. And so, of course, that's a reality of this kind of thing. The volume of water is, you know, significantly less than a home uses, but significantly more than a home uses for an hour. So it's not as though we're suddenly using a dramatic amount of water in the big scheme of things. It's just the demand comes at a short period of time. And I would stress the idea that it's use of water. All of the ways that we use water except to drink it, essentially, are optional. Now, it could be pretty stinky in here in a matter of a couple of weeks, but it's all optional. So we choose to use water to water our lawns. We choose to water our car or to wash our cars. We choose to use water for a variety of things, like running the dishwasher instead of washing by hand. So this would be a way that we would use water for recreation, and I would just really stress that. We're working to find a way to make it happen without putting undue stress on the system. So we'll have some, you know, either additional reports on it, or you'll see it happen, or you won't see it happen, but we'll keep you appraised of that. Very excited to say that the Chamber of Commerce has extended a grant for funding for a porta potty throughout the course of the event, and that we're going to discuss with BTAC tomorrow morning some possible additional funding, or I'm going to discuss with BTAC tomorrow some additional options for some funding, because we really don't have a budget for this. Community development has no budget to create community events. That's really not part of our task, if you will. But on the other hand, if you read what our task is, it's to create a vibrant downtown. It's to develop sustainable neighborhoods and a wide variety of things. So this is one step in that direction. So we'll keep you posted. I'm happy to answer any questions you have. Oh, I did want to take a moment to mention Mr. Hollander and some of the men and women over at the fire station for going, really taking some big efforts to figure some things out for us, and put together some spray heads, and been super supportive. Really, really just kudos to Henry and everyone else who was involved over there. But any questions for me? We're not talking, I don't know in hundreds of cubic feet. I haven't evaluated it that way. We're looking at a flow right now of about 25 gallons per minute, and we're looking at running it for about 50 minutes and then a break and then 50 minutes again if it were a two-hour event. So we can do the math on that. And it's still evolving math. I have notes from earlier when we were looking at the larger volume, and it was... fairly substantial. I'm still converting converting cubic feet to gallons so I can think about it. I'm not converting it back. Yeah. So it's like I say, it's a sizable amount of water. It's substantially less than a home uses in a month, but we're using it in a couple hours. On the other hand, we have thousands of homes connected to that system. So hopefully it's not an unnecessary undue burden. Any other questions? So I'll hand you this out. It's I think you'll find it to be interesting reading. I hope at least the first couple pages where I wrote the stuff about the city of Blaine.
Thank you, Michael. Public safety, I don't believe the chief is here.
One question on that.
On public safety?
Yeah.
You don't expect me to answer that.
Oh, yeah. There was a... article in the paper today about monitoring oil railroad trains.
And oh, yes.
I don't know if Blaine is involved in that at all.
Not to my knowledge.
And I guess my other question is, do we have oil coming in from Canada that goes to the...
Yes. Are you suggesting that we have citizens within our limits with cameras?
Well, it sounded like they would not be even available.
Oh, the cameras or the people?
The cameras.
Oh, okay.
And they would go on when the train came by. Okay.
So
I don't know.
I guess we could go up, ask for volunteers of people who would want to use their cameras to photograph trains coming through.
There's supposed to be reports that come, but I don't think they're a quarter of from what
I know. I think as a statement, I think it presents a real problem for us if there was a train wreck. And we have to deal with that, I'm sure.
Henry wouldn't have.
I guess that potential exists anywhere along that route. So
yeah, I think
both Blaine, Ferndale, Bellingham are all have trains going right through their cities. So any type of disaster would have to require a real emergency to be dealt with. So I think that's what they're trying to get at. Okay. Yes.
From the fire side, we have 82 calls reported over the weekend, mostly spot fires, and then we had a huge storm in Virginia that came on the city. And on that Sunday afternoon, it was about 25 more calls, and everybody thought the house was going to be there. All in all, the fire was calling, and it was a pretty successful year considering the rest of the Midwest and all the dry things that we saw.
Yeah.
And it ain't over.
Administrative services.
Good evening. I was asked to give an update on the situation, I call the situation, with our the applications for the BTAC and the Planning Commission, only because we planned on doing the interviews last month, but we're having a hard time getting a hold of the applicants enough for the council to interview, and I think it has to do with the vacation time frame. So we're looking at maybe doing it towards the last council meeting in August. So in the meantime, I will continue advertising on the website and see if we can get more applications. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. City Manager.
No report.
Okay. Our calendars. There are no changes in the calendars that I'm aware of. What is the joint? The joint 23rd is the joint study session with the Planning Commission. And that's at 5 o'clock. Okay. And that's the only new one, I guess, that I can see. Now, is there any unfinished business? Is there any council new business? Hearing none, the next item on our agenda is an executive session. And it's going to go to approximately, I think we'll want to alter the 7:30.
Close.
8:30.
Maybe less than that.
Okay, to discuss collective bargaining pursuant to RCW 42:30:1404 in brackets.
No action.
And no action is anticipated. So we will break for executive session, be out approximately half an hour. And you're welcome to stay if you wish. We'll be back in about